Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
The Dharma Lames.
The Dharma Lames.
With Boner and Rolf, the Truthies, as I'm pretty sure we were called at one point.
Well, you know, I think Truthy is not the worst thing to be called. It's better than Falsies.
If you understand the context it is, within the realm of whatever.
The realm of being a Truthy.
Yes.
This is us. We're the Dharmalars. We are here with our Lost podcast, coming directly to you from the Dharmalars. Where fabulous producer Ryan is backing up me, Ben, who will have to change his name to Boner, apparently, because I'm not the same as Henry Gale.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Over at the Lost podcast with Jay and Jack, they had to find a way to differentiate between Jack from the show and Jack from...
Oh, that's right.
From the podcast.
And that was why he became
Handsome
Jack.
Yeah, so I was thinking of calling you Henry. I don't know. I don't know what else to call you now.
Is he going
to
be Handsome Ben?
What did you think of that? What did you think of them calling you Ben?
I was very happy. I mean, it's like, look it, they got my name on the show at long last. I'm now in the Lost canon.
What do you think the chances are of Ralph showing up on the episode of Lost?
It depends, because if they need someone to counsel all their wolves, they're at the zoological station. This other guy over here on the podcast is Ralph, and Ralph just told me recently that Ralph means wolf counselor.
Yep.
In what, like Latin?
You got it.
That's funny to me that not only are there wolf counselors, but they had to come up with a name for it.
and
it's like a broken arrow.
Yeah.
I got the big brain on Ralph.
Very nicely done. I enjoyed that one. I'm going to leave that one up the mic.
That's a cornucopia.
Jeez Louise.
That's recursive.
Wow. I don't know which bothers me more, the fact that this happened or the fact that it has a name.
Yeah. So, okay, well, we're here with our first real podcast based on a Lost episode.
Yes, this is our first post-episode podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
We did the Myakam 2.0 which was a catch-up.
And it was about real episodes.
Yeah, it was about real episodes, and we had about, at least four weeks of sitting around on the episodes. But this is the day after they aired A Tale of Two Cities.
A Tale of Two Cities. And I just want to come in here real quick and say, why?
I have no idea.
Have you read A Tale of Two Cities?
I don't read.
That was a leading question. I haven't read it either. I don't know what it's about, but it can't be about dudes in cages, can it? It was about the best of times, the worst of times. Everyone knows that part. So I guess the best of times is hanging around talking about the Stephen King book, and the worst of times is when a fucking plane crashes on your island.
There you go, Tale of Two Cities.
Tale of Two Cities, done. They like to take care of the episode.
First line of the book, and there you go, the first scene of the show.
Which was very similar to Desmond's little scene there in the hatch.
Yes, and I mean, I brought this up on the blog spot, and I brought it up to you guys as soon as the Lost title showed up last night. I said I called it pretty much. From the opening shots.
From like the CD.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this is the Others camp. Like, it was shot in the very similar style as season 2's opener. Uh-huh. And I sat around all of that summer wondering what's in the hatch, and they showed me right away.
And
so as soon
summer,
as this scene started up, I'm like, this is shot like the opening of last season. I'm started thinking, what have I been wondering about all of last season? That they're trying to...
That I'm going to find out about now.
Yeah, and it was essentially, it's who are the others.
Who are the others? What are they about?
So what do you say we get into this?
Let's do it.
Let's talk
about
that opening scene, because that seems to be the main subject of discussion.
If you want to break the episode down, there's what happened with our Losties, there's the Jack flashbacks, and there's the opening scene. I think they're all equally intriguing to the Lost fans. As those
yeah,
three
but
things.
I think that opening scene was probably the most
yeah.
like cool part of the show.
Yeah, because people having effed up stuff happen to them on the island is pretty standard.
Yeah,
a flashback of Jack not getting along with his dad is pretty standard.
And his wife.
And his wife, yeah. We've had both of that. But seeing what's going on in this little Utopiaville, I saw someone called it Utopiaville.
That's pretty funny.
It was totally awesome. I was blown away. I was stoked because when Ben decided that Ethan and Goodwin were supposed to go like that and started giving them orders, that was cool. Like, that was totally what I had hoped how it had happened.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I was concerned with about that opening scene is these people are on a deserted island. Uh-huh. Well, not deserted. They're on an island
Uncharted.
In the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. And they have at their disposal seven copies of Carrie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they give her crap for choosing it. Is there some kind of massive library on the island
there
that
must,
has
there must
like
be, like, enough books that they could have a book club and that your choice could be ridiculed as popcorn?
They obviously are in touch with someone in the outside world.
Either that or they were just really well funded. I mean, how old is Carrie? That book's got to be, what, 30 years old?
The movie was made in 77,
so
I believe.
The book is at least 30 years old.
Yeah.
So it could have been there. Part of Dharma. It could have been in one of their stations. Marvin Candle could have left
a million
behind with his eye or whatever.
Yeah, but seven copies of Carrie?
Yeah, that's a good
point. And I'm assuming that Ben, a.k.a. Well, I guess Ben is...
Ben, a.k.a. not me.
Yeah, part of the book club, so I'm assuming he has a copy,
so,
too.
So, yeah, so even another copy.
And if Ethan Rom wasn't so busy fixing pipes, then maybe he's part of the book club.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the similarity between what they have and what Dharma has is there are plenty of books in the hatch. Mm-hmm. There's like a full bookshelf of crazy books that Amy's
maybe,
read all of.
Yeah, maybe every book is in each of the
stations.
Yeah.
So they went and they pillaged them from the Hydra, the Arrow, the Pearl, and the staff, and they had enough copies to create a book club, maybe.
And maybe that was like once every couple weeks, one of the others runs out and comes back with a stack, like a book from each of the stations.
Yeah, exactly.
You came back, you
with
ran
Carrie?
Around the island to each station and got Carrie.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Juliet.
A couple of things, I watched the episode twice. A couple of things I was looking for the second time I watched the opening. I was looking for the children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
I was looking for Nathan, because how awesome would that have been if Nathan showed up?
It
in
would have
that
been
camp?
Awesome. And I thought, because you texted me last night and said, was Nathan there? And I thought about it. And the only thing I wouldn't have liked about that is not seeing Henry Gale tell him to go also. Like, it was one thing to have him tell Goodwin and Ethan to go and infiltrate everyone's camp.
Mm-hmm.
But for Nathan to have done it, like, and us not see him given the instructions,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would have dug it. That's all. But it would have been really cool. He's not there.
That would have been awesome.
And no kids. There were no kids.
There were no children. Who knows? They're probably at some other's Montessori school or some kind of new
someone
age.
Said they were at like someone said they were at like a fancy boarding other's boarding school.
Yeah.
They sent them away. They don't want to deal with their little brat kids. They'll see them at Christmas.
Send
them a letter on fucking Thanksgiving.
And another thing, here's something.
Mom and Dad, I am enjoying other camp. I am a good person, and our camp counselor is treating me very well. Love other Jimmy.
Alex wasn't hanging out.
No Alex.
Do you think maybe she is sent on the outskirts to like stop people from getting into the camp?
Maybe like a far range guard. Maybe they don't let her in the camp.
Who knows?
I mean, there's a lot.
How does Danielle not get in there? How does she...
I heard someone say that it looked like the village or whatever, their Utopiaville, is in a crater that is on Rousseau's maps.
Oh.
Take it for what it is. I don't know if it is or not. I haven't confirmed it, but I don't know. They must have traps, or maybe the security system is between them and the rest of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're like protected by the dark territory. I don't know. But it didn't look like it was an hour's run. From their camp to
we have a phone call. that mentions the hour run. We'll really? Get to those later.
Yeah.
Maybe Goodwin's a fucking sprinter. Who knows?
Maybe. No, like you said, it could be an hour's run, including a 30-minute Paula Ferry boat ride.
Yeah.
You know, Pickett can drop him off and then bring the boat back.
Yeah. I still think that shot that pulls back and you see their little town and the island with the crash site on both sides, it does look like it could be two separate islands, the way that the water curves in.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like it would make the tail section of the plane area look like a peninsula. So it actually looks like it could, in fact, be two islands. I don't know.
You're right, because it does curve in a little bit. And there's no way of knowing if it curves all the way and becomes just the ocean, or if it's just like an inlet or a fjord or something for night boat to use.
Because it just seems strange to me if it's an hour run. It's weird that they would go to the Apollo Ferry.
I don't know if it's like the Apollo Ferry.
Isn't that what it's called?
I think it's Paula.
Paula? I thought it was Apollo.
It's like, hey, ferry. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, anyways,
until we see an aerial shot.
They went to a dock for a reason. That's the thing that I thought was strange. Other than just, I guess, dumping off Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, when last we saw our survivors, they had their knees, they were on their knees on the dock, and next we saw them, they were waking up. And they've all been injected or had blood tests.
Well, that's the thing that Stevie brought up, is that we see Jack and Kate pull off of their injection cotton Dharma
Band-Aid
thingies. Sawyer's wearing long sleeves, and it seems like they took an effort to show insert shots of Jack and Kate taking off of their Band-Aids.
But you don't see Sawyer.
But you don't see Sawyer do it.
That's a good point.
I mean,
that's a very good point.
I thought it was strange that to go for the insert shot on both of them, but not Sawyer's.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a big deal.
I think it might be, because a lot of what was cool about this episode is seeing how differently they're treating all three of them and how they seem to have a different strategy for all of them. But are we getting ahead of ourselves? Do we want to talk more about the opening scene?
We're just going to discuss the episode, man. Okay. Let's go for it.
Well,
we don't need to go in any order. People have already seen the episode. That's what the Dharmalars is about. We're about
fuck order.
Two guys discussing what everybody's seen already. So you guys should be up to date.
Two guys at the end of the spectrum.
That's correct.
Well, I was noticing in the credits that Elizabeth Mitchell, the very fine...
Which, by the way, I was noticing today that the credits are see-through on this episode.
Really?
They have an opacity, so you actually see the scenery behind it.
Huh. A translucency.
I use opacity just because of Photoshop, because I'm a genius.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anyway, Elizabeth Mitchell,
Elizabeth Mitchell, the very fine actress who's got big cans.
Did you say fine?
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah. All right. I could not for the life of me pinpoint where I knew her from the entire episode. Went to IMDb after watching the show and still have no idea where I know
Does
her
she
from.
Hate that? Like
she's
you go
been
on
in
IMDb,
like a million.
You're like, I know you, but I've never seen a single one of these things you've done.
Yeah, it's all like CSIs and...
Well, I saw her in one of those things.
Oh, okay.
When I was watching it, I was trying to place her, and Becky asked me, who is she? And my brother texted me, who is this girl? And I was like, leave me alone, I'm watching Lost. I turned to Becky and I said, I don't know who she is, but I picture her being very pale and sick. And it turns out she was on an episode of House MD, where she played a nun. If I remember it correctly, she was a nun who developed an allergy to copper, and had a piece of a copper IUD still in her from back before she was a nun, and it was making her sick. So she got very pale and sick, and that was where I knew her. She was also on ER, but I know you didn't watch
that. I don't watch ER, I don't watch CSI, I don't watch any of those things.
You
Law
have
and
no
Orders,
reason to know her.
Santa Claus 2, like I just did not know her. She does look a lot like Carrie Ann Moss. Go back and look at it, I swear to you.
Huh, like the cheekbones and
just look at her.
The
she
nose?
Just, I
That's
mean,
interesting.
Her face mostly.
See, I would never get that because... her face, not her.
You gotta get
fingernail.
Past the blonde hair. For anybody that doesn't know, Henry over here, Ben does not bode well with people or actors when they change hairstyles, wear wigs.
Yeah,
he Like
the simplest of wigs can throw me off.
Like we sat there and watched Being John Malkovich, exactly. And after the movie, you said Cameron Diaz was in that movie.
Who did she play? Oh yeah, she was the female lead. Mm-hmm.
She was in it
opposite
the whole time.
Elizabeth Keener, or Catherine Keener, whatever that girl's name is.
Did I tell you about my theory about what the island is?
No.
That it's like a time warp thing where the ice caps have melted and the Earth is completely submerged in water. And they're on Mount Everest.
Nice.
Did I ever tell you that one?
No.
Well, last night, you know, it could be true because of the high altitude cooking. It might be tough to bake your muffins correctly and keep your cheese sandwiches from burning.
Now that's a theory.
What do you think of that?
The high altitude cooking as evidenced on Lost.
I took a bunch of notes here and I have just like words. I'm going to see if you want to start up a conversation on any of these phrases I have.
So is this going to be like a psychology test? Where
yes,
it's
is.
Like I just say my first response,
here's
whatever
the,
it is.
Here's the first one. MC Gainey.
Because he said that Kate's not his type.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that he's into dudes.
That means that he probably would like gin.
Or
Sawyer.
Like a redhead or something.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing.
I don't know.
Or maybe he would like Sun.
He
only likes Asians.
I wrote down also, where's your lawyer?
Where's your lawyer? Oh, that's what Jack's wife says to him.
Yeah, but did you notice that she didn't have a lawyer with her?
Maybe her lawyer went on ahead inside to the room, and she was hanging out there because she was expecting that cell phone call full of jokes.
Oh, yeah.
She was expecting her joke of the day call.
And this brings up...
she picked it up, and the guy was like...
I thought it was funny because another phone call joke... was Christian Shepherd gets
Christian
a joke at the
yeah.
hospital,
yeah,
and he's all, ho, ho, ho.
He signed up for the cell phone.
Sure, I'll see you at the AA meeting.
Yeah.
And he gets out of his car at the AA meeting, still laughing.
Laughing like, oh.
Oh, man. I'm so sober.
He's laughing. He's, oh, it's driving me nuts. I get it.
Okay, one of the things I think is funny is you usually ask yourself, okay, where did they get a book of matches on an island? And they just stamp the Dharma logo on it.
And that's easy.
That's easy. It's taken care of. But when Juliet brought the food to Jack, on the food tray is a Dharma logo.
Yeah.
Is that necessary? Like, does it need to go that far?
They love branding their shit.
Well, then why don't they have, like, Dharma on the side of their houses and on the plumbing and on...
Well, who knows who they are? Maybe they made their houses out of wood and they didn't buy them from Dharma.
Too legit to quit. Dave Coulier.
So yeah, but did you see the shape of that tray? That was kind of cool. Ralph's trying to do cut it out hand gesture.
Last night,
popular by Dave Coulier.
Yeah, last night I just before Lost, I spent about a good 5 minutes saying cut it out as always Dave Coulier, but my hand motions.
He was doing
were
too legit to quit.
Too legit to quit, and everyone was
from
very
a camera.
Everyone was frustrated.
At one point, we got him to say, cut it legit, I think, which was the closest we could get him to say. I was looking at the credits, the translucent, opaque credits, whatever you want to call them.
Yes.
And I noticed that because Elizabeth Mitchell, the very fine actress, has been added to the cast, Dominic Moynihan slipped down the list because, you know, it's alphabetical.
Oh,
list.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that's kind of got a bug. Every time someone comes on the show, you get moved down a peg, unless you're Adewale. Gets to go first because he got three.
I think he made up that name.
That's what I was thinking. Is Moynihan should change his name to AAA Best Moynihan.
That's awesome.
He would. That way, he could always have a fallback career for bail bonds if this whole Lost thing didn't work out.
What are you?
That's a good way to secure your billing.
What do you make of the name Chachi?
I see every time Sawyer has a nickname, you can pretty much find what it's about and why he's saying it. Except for Chachi.
I don't.
Maybe Joni really loves this guy. Maybe Sawyer saw him and knew that Joni would love him.
The cutscene, deleted scene. Chonies.
Well,
Joni walks by.
Chachi loves Chonies. Speaking of deleted scenes, he doesn't call him Carl.
Yeah, he didn't call him Carl.
Yeah, like in that very beginning when he was trying to figure out the polar bear food thing.
Yeah.
In the clip that was online, he called him Carl, which turned out to be his name. That was weird.
Yeah.
I really liked when Carl said, you know, I'm sorry for involving you in my escape attempt.
Is that a setup? The whole thing was a setup, right?
I think everything's a setup.
Did you notice when, this is the scene that follows that one, where Kate's brought in Tom's wearing like some kind of a mood ring or something. Did you see that thing?
No. It's not like a service ring or a cross ring.
It looked like a mood ring.
That's
I don't
funny.
Know.
What was his mood?
Black.
Black.
That's how I knew it was a mood ring, because it was like the regular color that it always is.
The default color that every mood ring turns to if you still have a pulse.
One of the big jokes that that people seem to enjoy was Tom saying
about the polar bears.
Yeah, it took the bears. It took the bears 2 hours to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I looked into it and I thought, you know, that's interesting. Does that mean that Tom's been around
since there were bears on the island?
Yeah, since they were doing experiments.
Yeah. And it seems, I would think so. Unless maybe he found notes.
Are these Dharma guys for real, or do we?
Or some of them are some, and some of them are not. But yeah, it definitely seems to imply that about Tom. But I don't trust anything. I don't trust what Juliet's been doing with Jack. I don't think, you know, it's not even necessarily true that she and Ben are having a fight or whatever it looks like they're having. That could just be part of trying to break him. Yeah. Putting Kate and Sawyer together could just be trying to break them.
Ryan disagrees. Here we go. Hold on. Get over here. Grab that mic. We're using mics, by the way. Thank you, Ryan.
This is the first time. And high tech. I think they actually are having a fight because of the whole comment about the book club earlier. It's like, well, I guess we're not invited to the book.
Yes, the book club.
So I think that they are. I'm thinking it's the. She's like Mirage, and he's like Syndrome in The Incredibles. And they're having a fight, and pretty much him bailing out on her when the water's rushing in and leaving her to death. I think that might make her more sympathetic to Jack's plight, and she might help him out. That's just me.
Where I look at a situation and see only distrust, you look at a situation and see where it could actually be, where the human emotions are and how she can actually be of help to Jack. Well, I think you're probably right now that I think about it.
I don't think.
If she was trying to break him, which I thought would have been awesome, and I thought it was about to happen when she got him to put his back up against the wall, and then it looked like she was leaving. Like, if she was like, all I need you to do is put your back up against that wall, and he sits down and puts his back there, and she's like, all right, later, and just bails. No fucking food for you, fatty. That was all part of me breaking you.
I thought it would be more smart if she said, face the wall.
Yes. I thought that, too.
That's not very wise.
Facing the wall, the only pushback he could do is if he was playing colors in a pool. thought he heard red swimming behind him, and he just did that push off, try to grab her, but it wouldn't help him out very much.
It's pretty funny.
Did you think that? And I asked you this last night, but I'm going to ask you this time in front of the listeners. Did you think that the voice saying "subject escaped, subject escaped"?
It was the same.
It's the same voice.
It's
as
the same
failure.
As lockdown. I could just tell.
System failure.
I have pretty clean ears, dude.
That's right.
My ears are too clean, as my doctor told me once.
Yeah, once this week.
What's up? All right, that will never get so. Who gives? Who
quality
gives?
Comedy.
Who gives a prisoner toothpicks?
Toothpicks? What? Yeah. Is that what Carl had?
She was trying to give him. Oh. She's all, I just put in the toothpicks.
I just put in the toothpicks.
Why would you? And like four of them, like.
Or, wow, he could break them in half and then he could have eight.
Or he could break those in half and have 23. Long way. If he does it the long ways. He cuts them half the long ways. Every time.
Yeah.
I have. What else do you have on your notes? Because I just pretty much crossed out everything on my notes.
Well, I'm thinking about your toothpick thing, and I'm thinking maybe she wanted to see what he would do with them. Maybe they want to give him toothpicks so they can test him psychologically. What do these look like to you, Jack? Oh, my dad. Because he has father issues. I wanted to say that I don't think you would eat that biscuit that Sawyer got.
First of all, I don't eat seafood. I don't like fish.
Seafood.
I can't. I don't want any of that junk. But even if it was dog food in the shape of
a fish, maybe it was Jesus flavored. Maybe it was the body of Christ.
You know, I was going to say
a Jesus fish.
I was going to say those merchants of truth over at the Mayakamwassass who love their little Jesus podcast probably have one of those on their car already.
They are merchants of truth, underground merchants. Like they open up their coat in a dark alley. Psst, hey kid, want to buy some truth? I think it's probably milk bone consistency and flavored like fish, like fish paste.
I don't even like fish. Ugh. But even like I was gonna say, like even if it's like for dogs and it was steak flavored,
you still wouldn't want it.
No, you know what? I would. I'd eat that.
Change your mind.
Steak flavor?
What do you suppose all those crisps were? Was that like Cap'n Crunch?
Peanut butter crunch.
Oh, God.
But
I'd go in that cage right now. Peanut butter crunch is awesome.
It looked like nuts or something.
It looked like soy nuts, I thought, maybe.
What do bears eat besides fish crackers?
Honey.
Nuts.
Salmon. So that biscuit I thought was pretty gross. My old man sent me a 3-word review of Lost. He texted me today.
All right, what was it? Give me the 3 words. Go.
Lost PU.
Ooh.
I think the old man thinks that Lost stinks. Either that or he lost his copy of PCU and the letter C on his cell phone. He lost two things at once, so no wonder he's upset.
That's crazy. Like, is this just because of last night? He's been following it?
He's been following the show. He's not a losty come lately, which is another thing I wanted to talk about. But
we'll talk about this in a sec.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. He's been following the show since the beginning, and I didn't get to talk to him. I just got those 3 words, but my old man apparently thought that last night's episode of Lost stunk, I guess. And I came back at him and said, I can't believe that you like Heroes, but you don't like Lost. We're going to have words.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like Heroes all right. It's turning out to be an okay show, I guess, but it's just, it's slow and there's not enough sympathetic characters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Lost PU from Dad. So, do you want to talk about the Lost You Come Lately?
I have one more note that I didn't cross off.
Oh.
And that's the Sawyer cam.
Yeah, the Sawyer on Fear Factor.
You like it? I liked it.
I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was cool.
He had, like, you know, you saw it in the show.
It was a camera attached to his...
To, like, a rig on his shoulder or something.
Rock hard manhood. I don't know what it was.
Attached to his rock hard abs. Yeah, probably.
I said manhood.
Oh.
All right.
That's kind of low. You'd have to get a really wide angle lens.
No, did you see the angle it was at?
Yeah, still all the way down to his rock hard manhood.
I don't know, dude.
We'll have to look at his
about making television
for a closer inspection.
Obviously, you don't know anything about producing a TV show.
If we can spend 5 minutes talking about Sawyer's boner, I think we should give a shout out for Kate's sundress, which I thought was very sexual.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Everyone's shouting out.
Yeah.
Out. So now that you crossed off your final note, can I talk about the Lost?
I didn't cross off. I just found two more notes.
Jesus, do you not know what crossed out means?
Because if you look at my notes, they're all over. This is like in between. Like, look at this.
Did you write them on crossed out paper?
Two margins. Okay.
Okay.
Or lines. I don't know what those are.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about that later. I'm not even gonna talk. I was gonna talk about John Terry being in Living Daylights.
Do it.
We are watching Living Daylights this weekend for 21 weeks of 007. And as it turns out, John Terry played Felix Leiter in the show we're watching this Sunday. Yeah,
and he played John Terry. For those of you unfamiliar, is Christian Shepherd. So it took Ralph looking him up on IMDb to get that right.
Yep, MI6.com gives me all the scoop on James Bond.
It's just proof of how you can be a fan of Lost and you can be a fan of James Bond and just not put the two together until it comes upon you. Like, I didn't realize that Terry O'Quinn was in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation until I saw it again after watching Lost.
I didn't know that either.
I could show it to you sometime.
I'll show you
like a freeze frame.
No thing. Okay. I'll look him up on Google.
Look him up on Star Trekpedia.
Okay. Sure, my last note that I have here isn't anything that you would be able to discuss, but something you should definitely check out. Go on abc.com, download the free episode of Tale of Two Cities from Lost.
You can download it?
You can, it streams and you can watch it. And it's usually has like a commercial that stops like every, you know, second commercial break.
Okay.
Scrubbing Bubbles sponsored
this week's
download.
For Lost? Scrubbing Bubbles? What's the tie in there?
I don't know, but I definitely recommend you go to those commercials because there's little sections you can pick to say, does it work for me? Or you can select, like, you know, how does this make my shower clean? Does it clean the whole shower? You have to click on whatever the bottom left one is. That's the only one I clicked on. And it's lady. It's just, you just got to see it. Just go there and look at it.
Okay. Well,
everybody, I'll send you a link to that. And
we'll put it up on the MySpace page.
Yeah, we'll put a link up, and you got to check that out because it's the cheesiest, most hilarious thing you've ever seen.
Is it tied back to Lost at all?
No lady would ever talk about cleaning her shower the way this lady does.
It's
awesome.
That's funny. I'm picturing like Scrubbing Bubbles douche commercial.
We
work harder.
I don't know who directed it, but I think you're correct. It is
Lord. I can't wait to see it.
All right, let's get to what you want
to
get to.
I wanted to talk about the Lost Deacon Lately.
Talk about it. Go for it.
Which is the term that I've come up with to describe people that came aboard Lost by watching it on DVD. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not sure. There's other ways. Like someone might still have a VHS somewhere out there.
Yeah.
Or watch it on iTunes or something. But I think it's definitely a different kind of person who didn't have to watch week after week or didn't have to wait when Boone dropped the flashlight on the hatch like before Thanksgiving, and they didn't go back to it again until like December 12th.
And then the summer hiatus and all that junk.
Yeah.
So people who get to see what's inside the hatch, like,
yeah,
however long it takes to put in a new disc on
a
DVD.
They were like, oh, I wonder what's in the hatch. I think I'll find out. Whereas I said, I wonder what's in the hatch. I better live like 5 months of my life.
Well, my sister who was catching up, and she started watching. She watched all of season two in like 3 days. Sends me a text message after the show aired last night and said, is that what you were waiting for 4 months for? Or something like that. And I was like,
ooh.
I said, yes, actually.
Yes.
Thanks.
That was rough. You shouldn't have said that.
But, I mean, you know, she is a Lost Deacon Lately.
I don't begrudge them. I think it's just an interesting phenomenon because, I mean, yeah, I've noticed it each season now how with each progressive season there seems to be more and more fans.
Well, remind me for season four
okay.
to hold a paper and pencil.
and start writing
as
that
soon
prediction.
As soon as the episode starts, I'm going to write down what's going on, throw it into the middle of the room.
And we'll leave it there.
And then once the commercial comes up, have someone else go open it and
go
see.
Open it and you can say, is this your card?
I can't sit there and shout out in front of everybody, hey, these are the others.
Yeah, but you know, I believe you when you tell me you came up with it because I know that you work like that. Like,
you guys would have been pissed.
Like The Village.
Oh, The Village. I knew it from the second shot and I was pissed the whole time.
Yeah, and you know, it's best to keep it to yourself and just say, but you know, if you want to seal it in an envelope, I did that. I did like some prediction with Lost, like in the first season, and I wrote it in an envelope and I sealed it and gave it to Becky. And it was like because the trailer was someone will die. And I was like, oh, all right, let me make
Kevin Costner.
It was that that old lady on
Arrested Development. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's just to me a different thing that I don't know if I've noticed on other TV shows. People catching up on DVD.
Yeah. And now everyone should be caught up and on the same boat or
that's
the same
right.
page.
We're all going to be in the same hatch.
There you go. Kicking it. So what do you say we get to coming up on Lost?
Let's do it. Coming up on Lost.
So coming up on Lost is we're going to discuss what we saw in the preview and let's make some predictions.
Okay. Yeah.
What did we see in the preview?
We
I only watched it once.
Sun. It looked like Mr. Friendly, a.k.a. Tom, a.k.a. Zeke, was assaulting on Sun in another boat-to-boat condition.
Is he a peanut?
No.
He's a nun.
She is. I think that Mr. Friendly likes shooting people when he's on a boat. I think that's his type.
I think he just likes boating in general. What else? Henry
Cavill. We see Saeed.
Ben. I want that boat.
Yeah, Ben got really into the boat.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want them to try to escape, but they know that you can't, right? Or that he seems to think you can't.
And the only people that know the bearing to get out, it would be
him, Michael, and Walt.
Yeah,
the watchers at home.
Yeah,
but there was that. There was a bit with Saeed. There was still nothing with everyone back in camp. I didn't see anything with them, did I?
I don't remember. We saw Sawyer kissing Kate.
That's right. It's all up honor.
What do you think that is? Probably a dream sequence.
No, I don't.
I'm saying dream sequence. Let's fight.
Okay.
We'll discuss next
week
who wins the fight.
I think it was totally real. They were making out like crazy.
Like caged animals.
Like caged animals that had recently been uncaged. Because I think they're in the same place.
How about this? How about they keep them separated for some time.
But looking at each other.
And so that's like sexual tension.
Yeah, especially when they put her in that dress, so she's more provocative.
So then they stick them together.
Yep.
So they could bump uglies.
Yep.
And make other babies.
Make more babies because we know that they love kids. And San Dimas.
They do love.
So that's what's coming up on Lost. Yeah.
Is that it? Is that all we got? I guess we have to get deeper into the season before we start getting the really crazy promos.
And the Canadian promos.
Yeah, and the Canadian promos.
I didn't watch either.
I haven't watched it.
I'll have to check that on, like, Lost Media. But, yeah. So, do we know what it's called? Hey, it's called Further Instructions.
I think next week's called The Glass Ballerina.
Ooh.
Which I think is a Sun and Jin episode.
Cool.
Well, it might have to do with all the Bodies.
It might.
I don't know what else to call them.
The Bodies.
The B team, probably.
Yeah.
The Strike Force.
The non-American.
Well, Echo.
Oh.
And
oh,
Claire.
Oh, what are the Bodies then?
The Bodies. They're just the Bodies.
Well, how did Echo get on the boat? I thought we were talking about
No. You called the Bodies the non-Americans, but what I'm saying is Echo is non-American. He's not on the boat, and Claire's not American.
That's true.
He's some kind of Martian orange that's shriveled up. Like a
and Cindy, wherever she might be, is not American.
Yeah, I think I saw her in the camp.
I'll have to
go back and look.
You wish.
No, I didn't see her.
You wanted to see her in the camp. She was on the plane. She was bilocating if she was in the camp. So next week on Lost, by location.
There you go. And what do you say we get? Now we're going to get into something that I think is unique to our podcast, which is the music of the island and getting into the music.
Yeah.
And to do that, we have a special segment, which we will be doing every week from our good friend up north in Seattle. And that's Jimmy. So let's give it to Jimmy.
Cast your mind back a couple of years. Does this sound familiar? You're listening to the opening moments of our favorite show. The date was September 22nd, 2004. And 10 months later, Michael Giacchino would go on to win the 2005 Emmy for Best Music Composition for a Series. Giacchino originally wrote musical scores for hit video games. In fact, if you've ever played Call of Duty, well, that's his work you're listening to. In 2001, J.J. Abrams, who was producing Alias, had already discovered Giacchino because of his work in the video game industry. He tapped Giacchino to provide the new show's soundtrack. This, of course, ultimately led to the work on Lost, another J.J. Abrams project. So, throughout Season 3, the Darmalars are going to look at the musical score. We're going to look for new themes, recurrent themes, influences from other works, comparisons of style, comparisons of composers. We'll even try and see if we can tell where the show may be going based on any new emotive developments in the scoring. There are many layers to Lost. The musical score is one of them. We're going to try and peel it back a bit, see what we can find. And don't forget, the Season 1 and 2 musical scores are currently available at the iTunes Music Store. This is Jimmy in Seattle. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jimmy. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Adding some class to the Darmalar's ass.
Yeah, it's quite a drop in the ocean, though.
Yeah.
Trying to add class to us.
I've been emailing Jimmy back and forth. He sent that. I really enjoyed it. So he's going to be a regular staple of the Darmalars. And he also hopes that we have our own input on the music. And since he didn't send us Tale of Two Cities specific music notes this week, I'm going to go ahead and mentioned some things. Kate's theme did make an appearance.
Kate's theme.
When they were taking her out the sundress to the beach. And I think you said that it was appeared during a Christian Shepherd scene.
No, I didn't think that when Christian Shepherd was going to the AA meeting, I didn't think it actually was Kate's theme.
It sounded very similar,
I thought
though.
It was similar in the violins. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's music.
But it's
music
yeah.
kind of does that, everyone.
Orchestral music.
It's like when they play Yoda's theme during Cloud City.
Yeah.
It's just
there.
It's weird. the Planet of the Apes type music
that was awesome.
During Sawyer's lockdown sequence, I thought was really cool. totally Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
I mean, there's no mistake that
no,
they,
it was a nod.
It was a total nod to Jerry Goldsmith's score to Planet of the Apes, and which I've always thought of Lost as two types of shows.
Okay.
One being like Land of the Lost type of adventure science fiction show.
Right. Yeah.
And then sprinkled in would be like Twilight Zone episodes in the flashbacks. Like
okay.
Flashbacks tend to be kind of Twilight Zone-y,
like a,
strange
a twist.
Twists and,
yeah, there's always
and,
an ending.
Weird connections. I you know, Rod Serling, who did the Twilight Zone, also wrote A Planet of the Apes, the screenplay.
He adapted it from the novel?
Yeah.
Oh,
he did,
that's,
he
that's
did
cool.
The screenplay. So I have a feeling that the writers of Lost, or maybe it's just Michael Giacchino, I don't know. But there's definitely that was Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, the production team, I think, definitely knows where its bread is buttered, and you know who they owe what to. And that was a full on nod.
Yes.
Because it was that kind of action. It's like if Sawyer and Jack had to fight each other for Kate, in the other's camp, they would definitely play something referencing the Star Trek fight song.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Maybe you could show me that sometime.
Yeah, I will.
The picture of Terry O'Quinn.
I'll show you something sometime.
Well, what do you think? Let's talk about the...
Yep.
There he goes.
timing.
The reoccurring
it's
theme of me singing. There he goes. Let's get to the song Downtown for a second.
Yes.
I'm going to have you read the lyrics that I put down.
That you wrote? Did you write lyrics for Downtown?
No, I didn't, but Tony Hatch did.
Tony Hatch.
Tony Hatch wrote the song Downtown.
Okay.
I'm trying to find if we find songs. Sorry. If we find songs in the show, we want to try to find out if they relate to what's going on. So I wrote down the best lyrics that I thought related to the show.
Which, considering how much this opening was like last season's opening.
Yes.
And Mama Cass says, "You're going to be nowhere, the loneliest kind of lonely."
Yes.
Which was also relevant to what was happening to Desmond.
Yes. So read the lyrics
Hatch
I
wrote
down.
Downtown, which was sung by Petula Clark?
Yes. And then read how I thought that fit into the show.
So here's the part that we heard. "And you may find somebody kind to help and understand you. Someone who is just like you and needs a gentle hand." And boom, right there is when she burns her hand on the stove.
Yep, she burns her hands.
Booey, she burnt the darn muffins.
But yeah, that was my whole thing was that seems like she was actually doing that for Jack. When just extending her hand out to him and trying to help him out at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So anyway, that's
that song obviously moved her. Like maybe she misses downtown.
Maybe. Downtown what though?
Vancouver probably. These
Downtown Island?
A lot of these others are Canadians.
The only one we know is Canadian is Ethan.
Yep. A lot of Ethan.
And we don't know if Nathan was another or not.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And Kate said she was from Canada.
I keep getting Nathan and Goodwin confused. My bad.
All right.
My bad, everybody.
So that's going to be our show for today. Ben,
yeah.
What'd you think of the episode on the whole?
I think it felt pretty good on the whole, I'd have to say. I was so happy to have it back.
It's just good to have back.
I was watching it, and I was stoked.
It might not be the most rewatchable episode, but it is definitely...
It advanced the story. It put our characters in a new place that's interesting, and it makes me wonder what's going to happen to them. I liked it a lot. Yeah,
it's just there's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see Lost is back.
Yeah.
I watched.
I want to just real quick put in a plug for The Nine.
Yeah, you kept telling me about that.
Yeah.
I don't really
it came
watch
on right
TV.
After Lost. The Nine.
Do you think it's going to be better than Invasion? You think it's going to last longer?
I think it'll be definitely better than Invasion. Because I watched the first episode of Invasion at Comic-Con, and I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And I watched the first episode of The Nine last night, and I can't get it out of my head.
Well, at Comic-Con, I mean, you were waiting to see Rock Hard Josh Holloway.
So that's true. I was pretty distracted.
Excuse me, Josh Holloway? I have a camera. Can you balance this and take a picture of yourself for me?
I'll put on the timer. It's not like the show. So, The Nine is about a bank robbery, and it was really cool because it's...
Flashbacks, right?
It's like flashbacks. What happened in the first episode is all these different people are in the bank, and then the robbery starts. And one of the robber guys says, "Don't worry, it'll all be over in 5 minutes." And then they go to commercial. They come back from commercial and it says 52 hours later. And you don't really know what happened inside, mm-hmm. but the FBI guys break the doors down and like make an assault to finally rescue the hostages. And the situation is messed up.
What if what would you call your 9 podcast? Because there's probably not one out there yet. You should start it
I
up
should
quick.
Start one.
I would call it...
Call it 9, but instead of a 9, put an E at the end of it.
I would call it 9, the German word for no.
Ooh.
Like, do you hate the 9? 9! If you get minus Shotsies, let's talk about 9. It was pretty cool. So that I would recommend go to abc.com
I'll
and
check
watch
it
the 9.
Only if there's a Scrubbing Bubbles commercial.
There's
on.
The Grudge commercial.
Ah, boo.
Boo.
Scrubbing Bubbles.
The Grudge 2.
I want to give a quick thanks to Tucker and Johnny for letting us be part of their show, Flight 815 Survivors.
That's right.
That episode went up today, the day we're recording. You should check it out. It's us being goofy about 53 minutes in.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you just want to hear us, then go to there.
Giving it all for Tucker and Johnny.
Skip over the Merchant of Lies on that podcast.
You're not going to talk about that? Okay.
Not going to talk about that.
Refer to it, though.
But that's all we have for the Tale of Two Cities episode of the Darmalars, our first post episode.
How'd you think it went?
Me?
Yeah.
Why don't we leave that to the listeners?
Oh.
They could tell us how they thought it went by calling the Dharma line at 206-338-4261. That's
the Dharma line.
Oh, I was going to have you repeat it.
Oh, that's 206-338-4261. The Dharma line. Leave us a message.
You are Ben, aren't you, with your your quick memory?
I'm more Ben than I'm Henry.
If you guys don't feel like chatting with us verbally, drop us a line at darmalars@gmail.com. That's darmalars@gmailars@gmail.com. And
you can always check us out on MySpace. Leave a comment. Look at our pictures at myspace.com/darmalars. And go to the Frapper map.
All that stuff. All of the stuff.
Frapper.com/darmalars.
All that stuff is on our MySpace page. Anyway, that's it, Ben.
That's
and
it. I've got a new sign out that I'm going to learn.
I have a new sign out I thought was good for both of us.
Oh.
Okay. Well, what's yours? Do yours.
Well, mine. This is what I was going to say. Is like, well, thanks to everyone from all of us here at the Darmalars. Hasta la vista.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
Mine, I was watching the Tale of Two Cities, and there was, they say, I already forgot it. Never mind.
Who says
there's that? A line. It's between Ben and Juliet.
No, he says, like, nice work. Nice work, Juliet.
And like, he says, thank you,
thank
Ben.
You, Ben. Yeah, that's what everyone should. We should end the show with everyone saying thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Instead of you all, everybody, it's the you all thank Ben.
So.
Though I'm going to stick with my Hasta la vista.
All right.
Do you want to come over with the one-liner?
I don't have a one-liner set up for this week.
Well, you never do, though.
Okay.
Under pressure.
Okay, give me a movie.
Your movie is Total Recall.
We already
did that one. Damn it, why do I always go to Total Recall?
I don't
even like that movie.
Your Luggage.
Hasta la vista.
Hey, what's up, Darmalaz? This is Ben, or you might know me, Official Ben from the Jane Jack form. I know you know me, Ralph. I was just calling to say what's up because you only had 3 calls at the end of your little podcast, and I thought that was pretty sad. And I heard Ben talking about some other shows like Studio 60 and stuff, and I watched it. It was pretty interesting. Had a nice beginning but kind of sputtered out in the middle, but I'll give it a chance. And I also watched that one show called 6 Degrees, which I think is on ABC also. And it seemed kind of cool. I'll give that one a chance. And I'm also looking forward to 30 Rock. But I should talk a little bit about Lost. I threw this theory out on the Jay and Jack podcast, but I wanted to tell you guys, too, that I'm predicting that either Rose or Bernard will kill each other. So either Rose kills Bernard or Bernard kills Rose. And I'm looking forward to seeing that happen. All right, you guys, you're pretty awesome. Keep up the good work.
Hello. Does you think man will ever walk on the sun? And if not, why?
Okay, I want to say something to you fellas, and I want you to listen up. I started listening to your podcast because I enjoy the show Lost, and me and my children enjoy watching it together, and even my grandchildren. And so I was downloaded all the podcasts, and we're taking a nice family trip in our car, and we're driving, and I got the kids in the back seat and the little ones, and we're driving, and we're listening to your podcast. All of a sudden, you start dropping filthy language. Clean it up, fellas. We don't need to hear the F word. We don't need to hear any of that goddamn language on the air. Clean up your fucking mouth. This is just disgusting. I mean, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. So start talking like real Americans and stop the swearing. You don't need this shit to be coming out on the podcast. So stop the bullshit, you assholes. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, Ben and Ralph, I can only pray that you would play this and on your Dharma cast. Or Dharma stuff. Dharma line. I'm calling the Dharma line anyway. It's less than a week away. I can only imagine what's going to happen on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. I'm pretty flippin' excited. And if you see Feast this weekend, I'm going to be pretty pissed. And according to your fantastical MySpace, there's only 4 days and 19 hours and 36 minutes and 49 seconds, 48. I've had a few Chardonnays, and I just thought I'd tell you I really enjoyed your podcast. And I hope you... I wish you well in that war against the Myokum with Sass. You know, they weren't treating you very well, and I'd like to see their rebuttal to your podcast. So you take care. Bye.
Hey, Rolf and Boner of the Dharma Lanes, the Merchants of Truth. This is Godsum.
Okay. And Steve.
And more Scott, I guess.
And Damon Lindelof.
And Stephen King. And, let's call say what's up. See what you're up to. Have a good day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cool. I don't really know what to say. Wait, did that hang up?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. The speakerphone on. I don't know. These phones, I swear to God. New York. Your phone's on. Yeah.
Dharma Lies is like the fucking worst podcast in the world. You guys should fucking get a life. Ben and Ralph are a bunch of dickhole pieces of shit, stupid fucks. Your show's done. I'm done. 1 star on iTunes, you fucking jerks.
I disagree with the last caller. I mean, basically, Ben has a huge dick. So, the Dharma Lies are good to go.
Hi, Dharma Line. This is Beth, and my other phone was just called gay, so now I'm talking on this phone. And I don't know your last show that well, but I was told by a survey that I'm a true, whatever that means. Okay,
hi. So what are you watching?
I'm leaving a message so it can get on your podcast.
Nice cover.
Who's going to eat your cars tonight?
Suck. They suck.
Dharma Lies suck.
They, well, yeah, they suck. They
fucking
suck. They effing
yeah.
suck.
No, they fucking suck. You
I'll,
can say it.
No.
And they'll play it on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys. This is Jack, first-time caller, long-time listener. Just want to say you guys crack me up. You do a great job, and just want to tell Ben I'm real sorry that in the last year you've lost your iPod and your underwear. They were real bad for you. But anyway, keep up the great work. I'll keep listening. Talk to you later.
See ya.
That was someone else in the room.
We just made podcasting history.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. An hour's run to the other side of the island to go meet up with the tail section? I don't know about that. is your roommate, Ben.
Hey guys, it's Amy in Little Rock. I just wanted to wish you all good luck on your first officially sanctioned Darmalars Season 3 podcast. I'm sure it's going to be great, and I'm really looking forward to it. I was doing crackers last night when you called, Ralph, because I totally wanted to just shout out that Henry Gill's name was Ben, and I knew you guys, and especially Boner, would flip, but you still had 2 hours, you know, till airtime, and I didn't want to ruin it for you, but, oh man, I was going crazy. Anyways, that's it for me. Namaste, guys. I'll talk to you later.